Thank you, Adam, for reading those passages that I requested of you. Probably been 2 or 3 years ago, I was requested by another congregation at their particular meeting to address some of the issues that I said I was going to talk to you tonight about. I apparently made some mention of that either from the pulpit or in private conversations with some of our young people. And probably about 4 or 5 months ago, I was having a Bible study with probably 10 or 15 of our young men, and they asked me about it. And they said, "You never talked on that." Well, I didn't remember telling them that I even had a talk on it. But there seemed to be enough interest and request that I promised them at some point I would talk on it. And I haven't had a good chance to do that. I chose tonight to do it. And the request that I had from this other congregation and the essence of what we want to talk about, I think has some very practical applications. And as I mentioned to you in the bulletin and this morning it was mentioned by Dan in the announcements, we want to talk about a Christian as they should consider tattoos, body piercings, that could be ear, nose, belly button, tongue, cosmetic surgery, consumption, and excesses. Well, if that doesn't get our attention, I don't know what will, because all of us struggle with some of those. And some of us struggle with multiple things in that area. Something on that list that we all probably strongly condemn, and something on that list that probably all of us struggle with, or maybe engage in. But it's interesting to me how sometimes our thought process is so selective in the things that we condemn and the things that we don't give too much of a second thought. But tonight I'd like to consider some of those things in the context of what guidance can we find, if any, from the Scriptures to guide us. Get us past the thinking of, well, I don't like that because, or I like that because, and see if we can get into, well, I like that or I don't like that because of what the Scripture says. God is not governed by preferences. He's governed by truth. You and I are often governed by preferences, and we all have preferences. Nothing wrong with that. We just need to understand the difference between a precept and a preference. And one of our guiding principles in the Scripture is one that Adam read for us just a moment ago, found in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I think we need to start with that to lay just a few moments of foundation before we look at these others in more specificity. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, the last two verses in that passage set up a very, very important principle. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not of your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, in our class this morning, we talked about primarily the soul and the spirit. I don't want to go back to that, because tonight, however, our subject is really the body. And these issues have something to do with the soul and spirit, but they have to do with how we're going to treat our bodies and how God wants us to. If you turn backwards into 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verses 16 and 17, we have a very similar principle laid out for us. 1 Corinthians 3, 16 and 17. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple is holy, which temple you are. Now, we know in Scripture that when it said, you are the temple of God, I think that applies in two ways. First of all, it applies in that the church is the body of Christ. Therefore, as part of the church, we're the temple of God. But there seems to also, in chapter 6 that I just read for you, to be some specificity that our bodies, which are to contain the Spirit of God as Christians, is also to be individually considered the Spirit of God. Paul carried forth his analogy that we are God's building, both as the church and as individual Christians. Christians, I believe, the Scripture teaches us, are the sacred temple that God has reared up. You know, in the Old Testament, they came to the temple to worship. In this sense, we bring the temples to the church to worship, if we are the temples of God. And that has a very practical ramification on what we want to talk about this evening. That's the principle that I believe we're to apply. Our bodies are the principle of God. And the idea is from Old Testament teaching showing that the temple was where God dwelt. If God dwells in us, and I pray that He does, then by definition we are the temple. And Paul uses that figure of speech several times in his epistles. And it's a beautiful figure of speech. It's a beautiful metaphor. It's impressive. Because the temple was an edifice erected to the service, to the glory, to the worship of God. Not only was it magnificent, but it was also holy. It was also sacred. It was the particular residence of Jehovah, devoted to His service. And even among heathens that don't worship the God that you and I worship and don't worship the God in the way that we understand God is to be worshiped, regard even their temples, heathen as though they might be, as sacred, inhabited by their gods, not to be violated. Those who took refuge there were often considered to be safe. It's a crime of the highest degree in almost any religion to violate the temple of that particular religion. So, when Paul says, you are the temple of God, it carries a terribly demanding and powerful message that I think is foundational for what we consider. How are we to treat the temple of God? Well, we could discuss this in how we're to treat the church, but for this lesson, we're going to be dealing with it in how we should treat our bodies as the temple of God. Does our treatment of the temple reflect our attitude toward God? Is the way the Bible tells us to treat our temple, is it a salvational issue, or is it simply good advice? You can use the principle of our temple is the body of God to condemn almost any issue that we've been asked to address or that we've chosen to address. I could use that to condemn tattoos. I could use that to condemn body piercings. I could use that to condemn cosmetic surgery. I could use that to condemn excessive consumption. But rather than just a blanket condemnation, I'd like to take a moment tonight and look at each one of these in a little more detail and hopefully glean out just a little bit more understanding. Now, you may, at the end of this lesson, come up with and maintain the very same conclusions about each one of these things that you entered the building with. And that's fine. But I would like for us to consider them in the time that we have been allowed. After I gave a lesson 2 or 3 years ago on this subject, I received an email from an individual in the audience. And it's one of these 2-page emails that someone sends that when they have a differing viewpoint. And I just want to read just a few excerpts. It was very well written, and this individual may be right. Certainly in their conscience, they are right. I won't read all of it. But on tattoos, this person wrote to me that the primary origin of tattooing pertains to heathen cults. The practice included a sign of allegiance to heathen gods. An additional application followed in keeping the first two was the practice among pagan soldiers of having marks or tattoos upon them as a sign of allegiance to a commanding officer. Culturally speaking, God's people are to have a healthier view, not a grotesque one. Neither are the followers of God to serve idols, nor should they in any way mar or deface their bodies. We have long had an association with the former practice of pagan soldiers, and as a consequence, we have a tradition among our servicemen of getting tattoos on their tour of duty as kind of a rite of passage. We see this same idea extended into areas of initiation into gangs also. The great popularity of tattoos in today's culture, however, actually has more to do with a heathen death culture and idolatry origins. A careful study of the designs being used for the actual tattoos reveals an association with certain cult mentalities, Druidism, Eastern mysticism, animism, Gothic fatalism, and the like, all of which are in point in reality Satanism. And then in capital letters, Christians should not have even a hint of any association with such things. And then he goes on, well, I guess I said he, didn't I? The person goes on and talks about body piercings, but we'll save that. I have a somewhat different view of it, although I think this is certainly an area where we can have differing views. Does the Bible speak to us about tattoos? Well, the answer to that is yes, it does. In one classic passage, particularly found in the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, we have reference to what I think we have to be honest and say is a reference to tattoos. The King James will use the word marks, but if you're reading out of the NIV or the New King James, I think you'll find the rendering in this particular passage to render it tattoo marks, which is, I think, a fair rendition. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 28. Ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. And as I said, the NIV, and I believe the New King James, renders that any tattoos or any tattoo markings there in the latter part of that verse, if I recall from my previous analysis. That would seem pretty clear. God says, I just don't want you to have any of these things. But let's take a look at it. Look at, for instance, verse 27. You shall not round the corners of your heads. Now, that's an interesting imagery right there. I see this square-headed person that they're rounding, but this apparently has something to do with the cutting of the hair. You shall not round the corners of your heads, neither shall you mar or distort the corners of your beard. Now, do we apply that today? Well, it seems to me if I'm going to take verse 28 and use that as a passage to condemn tattoos, I should take this in context and take verse 27 and say, well, it's wrong for a man to trim his beard. Or it's wrong for a man to shape his hair in a particular way. That's the mindset sometimes we have to guard against of extracting something to prove something we want to have proven and take it a bit out of context. What I understand is being talked about here in Leviticus chapter 19 is really found in verse 28. The latter part, well, let me read the whole verse again. You shall not make any cuttings on your flesh for the dead, nor make any marks on your body. This was, apparently at that time, part of some of the pagan countries or pagan religions' grieving process. And they would make these cuttings or make these marks as part of their grieving process for the dead. And what's being condemned here is participating in a pagan custom for the dead. But I think it's a stretch, at least to me it's a stretch, to take that out and say that any markings that a person would put on himself or herself would be wrong. For instance, what did God do to Cain in Genesis chapter 4, verse 15? He put a mark on his forehead. Well, if all marks are wrong, God wouldn't have done that, because God doesn't do wrong things. Now, you could say, well, it's different if God does it than if we do it. Well, sure. But would God give us an example of something that he would turn around and tell us not to do? I simply ask us to think just a little bit about that. If all markings are sinful, then Cain being marked by God, I guess, would fall under that category. Therefore, I don't necessarily conclude that all markings are sinful. Having said that, and I need to move along for the purpose of time, I believe that tattoos can be wrong. And there are several ways in which a tattoo can be wrong. It could be wrong, for instance, if the object of that tattoo or the image of that tattoo was occult or immoral or idolatrous in any way. And a lot of tattoos probably fall into that category of being satanic or immoral in the pictures that are portrayed. A tattoo could be wrong if it's part of a superstition. Pardon me. I think one of the ways that tattoos are often wrong is they're simply the product of willful rebellion, and willful rebellion is always wrong. Rebellion against parents, rebellion against whatever, rebellion against the church. That's why probably young people get them more frequently than older people. It used to be something that men would get in the military. Now it's something they easily get when they go to college or when they're out on their own. I, being a sports fan, watch a lot of basketball, and I used to notice that in the professional basketball leagues, you would just see tattoo after tattoo. Now in the college leagues, you see tattoo after tattoo, and I suspect in the high school arena, you're seeing them also. I don't go to high school games too much anymore because Lee Summit just isn't any good, so I just no use. I'm waiting for them to get good, and then I'll go back. But I'm cautious to blanketly condemn them for Christians. Now, having said that, do I advise a Christian getting them? Absolutely not. But there's a difference between advising against it and condemning it per se. We are not to harm our body. I would be more concerned in the arena of tattoos, not with the image itself, but the possible injection of diseases into the person receiving them. I've never been in a tattoo parlor, but I've been by several of them, and my pace tends to quicken as I go by them because I've never seen one that looked particularly clean. I'm sure they exist, but when one gets a tattoo, you place yourself in the hands of whoever is giving you that tattoo for the cleanliness of that needle, and with the rampant spread of hepatitis C and HIV, I think that's a terribly, terribly dangerous thing to do. But that in and of itself does not condemn it. I have many brothers and sisters in the Lord that have tattoos, and I don't know, and I don't really want to know, but I would bet you there are a dozen people in this audience, at least, that have tattoos. And there may well be more. It's really, as far as I'm concerned, none of my business. And let me say categorically, I would rather have you in the church with a tattoo than out of the church without a tattoo. Parents, you do what you want. But your child may come home with a tattoo someday. My admonition to you is chill out. Chill out. Because there's a lot of things worse they could bring home than that. Now, if any person asks me advice, I'm going to say don't do it for a multiplicity of reasons. I don't see how it helps our testimony. When I see someone with a lot of tattoos, the first thing that pops into my head is, there goes a Christian. He could be. Some of you may have known Butch, and Butch comes to the two-week Bible study, and he sits on the front row. He was at Gregory. He's been to the last five. And when you look at Butch, and Butch has had a hard life. He wouldn't mind me telling this at all. He spent many, many years in jail. He always wears a long-sleeve shirt. The reason Butch always wears a long-sleeve shirt is he is just covered with tattoos. And he doesn't want that to be a stumbling block for anybody that might see him. He wishes he didn't have them. But he's got them, and he's a Christian, as far as I'm concerned, every bit as much as anybody sitting here. And, of course, God's the judge, not I. Are they wise? No. Would I get one? No. I don't understand, with all of our technology, why they can't make a 5-year tattoo that would just fade after 5 years for all those people that got one and then wish they hadn't. And the technology's got to be, hey, Alan, work on that. The technology's got to be available, but that's just not the technology. You can't have them removed, but if you want to talk about marring your body, you try to remove a tattoo and you probably mar your body more than if you leave the tattoo alone. Let me move on in the interest of time and talk to you a little bit about body piercings. Ears, nose, tongue, navel. I'm sure there's other anatomy parts that I don't know about, but those are the ones that I am most aware of. Well, Leviticus 19:28 also talks about that a little bit. It says, "Ye shall make no cuttings on your flesh for the dead, not making any cuttings of the flesh. In chapter 21, verse 5, he's addressing the conduct or the appearance of the priests, so I don't want to take this out of context, but it says, "You shall not make baldness upon their head, neither shall you shave off the corners of their beard, nor make any cuttings in their flesh." So it wasn't something God wanted the priests to do. Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 6, and I'm not going to turn to that, but it also equates making cuttings of the flesh with the grieving process. And we see this a little bit in the example of Elijah, when the prophets of Baal would cut themselves because they were grieving because their God wouldn't. Again, it's this picking up of the pagan practice that I think God was really against. But all body cutting and all body piercing is not wrong. And I think we can prove that biblically. If all body cutting is wrong, what do you do with circumcision? If all body piercing is wrong, what do you do with Exodus chapter 21, verses 5 and 6, when a slave, they would run an awl through their ear as a sign of who that slave belonged to? You know, ear piercing is not new. Ear piercing's in the book of Exodus. And it was given us there by God. I think the key for me on body piercing has to do with the motivation. And motivation and attitude can take almost anything and make it wrong. If body piercing of any form is done to attract attention to ourselves, then we've got a modesty problem, because that's what immodesty is. Immodesty is anything that draws attention to ourselves. We usually think of immodesty as underdressing, but overdressing can be immodest too, if it's the attraction of attention. If we're doing it as a rebellious attitude to parents, to society, to church, that attitude is wrong. But when I'm asked the question, "Can you go to heaven with a hole in your tongue?" I suspect the answer to that is yes, you could. Now, it's beyond me why you would want to have a hole in your tongue. That has no appeal to me. Holes in your ears don't even have any appeal to me. And I imagine 80% of the ladies here have pierced ears. I don't know that. Just the thought of that. Because I don't like anything that's pain. And I sure don't like it if it's attached to me. I just don't understand that. But that's different than condemning it. That's different than condemning it. Certainly these things can be wrong if they're done with the wrong attitude. But I think a blanket statement that because heathens and pagans used it at one time, that makes it wrong, that would rule out a lot of things. If just because heathens and pagans used a term, I'd have to quit calling this Sunday. Because Sunday is a pagan term. And that's why in the New Testament you don't find the word Sunday. It's always the first day of the week. Because Sunday was a day where they worshiped the sun god. Monday was the day they worshiped the moon god. If I would take the position that everything that pagans ever did, I'm not going to touch, I've got to quit calling it Sunday, I've got to quit calling it Monday, and I write down the list. I've got to come up with first day of the week, second day of the week, third day of the week. And they did that in New Testament times so that it wouldn't be confused. But it doesn't mean that today. And we go on with it. Let me move on to a couple more that are a little more touchy. And then if I have time, I'll open it up for questions. If I'm smart, I won't. What about excesses in consumption? What about excesses in consumption? And that doesn't have to simply be food. But it can be. You know, the body is the temple of God is a passage that has been used by the church and by good Christians many times to condemn things like smoking or drinking. Well, I think those things are terribly, terribly unwise. But if the rationale is because it hurts the body, then to be consistent, I've also got to place overconsumption in that area. I've got to place obesity. I've got to place gluttony right up there with it. I've got to place lack of exercise, which most of us don't get enough. I'm not saying that that makes those other things right. I'm simply think that consistency demands that we look in the mirror as well as look at other people. And we all probably would benefit from that. In the area of what we can consume and what's good for us, I don't know who it was. It might have been Blake Wednesday night, but someone recently from this pulpit said, you know, what's bad for you changes every few months. You know, it used to be eggs were bad, then eggs were good. Now I don't know if eggs are bad. Chocolate was bad, but now if it's dark enough, it's good. They're getting there. I'm waiting for they get to all chocolate being good, then I'm going to be a one happy camper. But obviously, all kidding aside, we do need to respect the temple because it was made by God. It was made in the image of God. My point being is all of us fail in some of these areas. So we need to work on ourselves and not necessarily be as condemning of others. And we don't, well, I don't feel good when we are selective about the areas where we say this is condemning in terms of the temple of God and that isn't. There's all kinds of verses and passages on this. If we're talking about excesses, pardon me, you know, excess of work probably is just as much a sin as excess of consumption. Excess of dieting. People die because of dieting and various diseases that come about by fear of weight and so forth. So I guess there's a passage that I'd like for us to consider as I kind of pull some of my thoughts to a close. The passage that says, do all things in moderation. That has a lot to do with the way we conduct ourselves and the way we comport ourselves. My primary focus tonight was to give you a little information, at least on my feelings, about tattoos and body piercings. My preference is I don't understand why anybody would want any of them. But that's different than saying you're wrong if you do it. But I would caution us, and maybe the young people, although I'm not so sure it's the young people as much as we think, to think through very seriously something you engage in that's going to go with you for a lifetime. Because I find very, very few people in their 50s and 60s who have tattoos that wish they had them. Now, I know a lot of brothers who have them. They got them in the service. They got them when they were younger. And they just don't go away. They wish they didn't. But that doesn't make them any less my brother. And even if a tattoo or body piercing is wrong, it's not something that can't be forgiven. It may be something that doesn't go away, but it's not something that can't be forgiven. Having said that, I want to emphasize, I don't recommend them. But to take a blanket attitude that they're wrong and to look down on people that engage in them, I would prefer our young people, all Christians, be in the church with no tattoos and no holes other than in their body, other than the ones God gave them. But I would rather them be in the church with those than to be out of the church without them. Let me pause and see if by chance anybody has a comment or a question on this area that you'd like to consider. If not, I'll kind of wrap up what I've said and we'll close it out. Okay. Very good. I think the body is extremely important. We talked this morning about the soul and the spirit being important. We know that because they are eternal. But when in our class, in the adult class this morning, we talked about being made in the image of God. God created our bodies. And out of respect for Him, we need to have respect for all creation. And we need to treat it in a manner that's appropriate. We shouldn't be cruel to animals. God created them. But He did create them for us to eat. So that's different. He gave us dominion over them. He gave us our bodies to use. He didn't give us our bodies to abuse. Everybody sitting here in some way, shape, or form abuses their body. And I'll be at the head of the list. There are things that we know we should do that we don't. Oftentimes it's called exercise and we don't get enough of it. There are things we know that we'd probably be better off if we didn't eat. But they're the things that taste the best, aren't they? God gave us all of those things to enjoy, but He gave us those things to enjoy in moderation. The idea of tattoos and piercing, I don't equate that to simply young people. I was in a congregation about a year ago, and a young mother, she's a school teacher in her 30s, very respected by the church, very respected in the community, and I looked down, and on her ankle was this little butterfly tattoo. And I didn't think I remember seeing that the last time I was there, although I don't keep notes on things like that. And she saw me looking at her feet, and she just turned beet red, because she just knew this sermon was going to start spewing forth out of my mouth about what in the world is wrong with you. And I just started laughing, because it was so out of character. It'd be kind of like, pardon me, dear, if Donna got a tattoo, you know, you just wouldn't believe that hardly, would you? Well, no, I wouldn't. But I asked her, what happened? Why did you do that? She said, since I was a little girl, I always wanted to know what that'd be like. So I finally decided to try it. Well, she's my sister, and she's my sister just as much as before the tattoo. I don't think she's going to get any more, but that's fine. Not to be recommended. It's not the best use of the temple. It's not a test of fellowship. And I'm thankful for all of those people that are my brothers and sisters, even with some of those things that I don't fully understand. I don't want to know who has them. I don't need to know. It's just not an issue as far as I'm concerned. What's in our heart, what's in our soul, what's in our spirit, and what's in our service to the Lord, that's the issue as far as I'm concerned. Anybody have a comment? This has been a different kind of lesson. It's not an evangelistic lesson at all. It's just talking to the family about something that's real. Dan mentioned he works in school. We probably got 10 people here that work in schools, and I suspect even in grade schools you're starting to see them. I don't know that for a fact. The closest I got to a tattoo were those little papers you got out of the cereal box, and you stuck them on, and if you're lucky and didn't sweat, they'd last all day. But there, but for the grace of God, I sure could have. I sure could have, and I don't consider that to be an issue at all. Anybody have a comment or a question before we extend the gospel invitation? Okay. I hope nobody spent all afternoon scrubbing all tattoos and worrying about it. But I think we do need to be careful that we don't use it as a test of a second-class Christian. I don't take it that way at all. It can be wrong if it's done with the wrong attitude and is an inappropriate image. But per se, I don't have a scripture or a chapter or a verse that I feel comfortable blanketly condemning. We're going to close our thoughts this evening and extend the gospel invitation. God is concerned about how we take care of our bodies, but if you would allow me to say, he's even more concerned about how we take care of our souls and how we take care of our spirits. This invitation is in the context of removing a mark from your soul and your spirit. You can't remove all of those things from our bodies. We can be forgiven if we need to be. But we can remove things from our souls, and we can remove things from our spirits. If there's anybody here tonight that has anything that they'd like to bring before the group, maybe someone hasn't accepted the Lord and would like to be baptized and have all of the important things washed off of their self, of their spirit, we invite you to come as we stand and we sing the closing song.